try and stop us, but they can't.
Hi there. Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, at Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as always,
by Very White Guy.
And you're very white indeed. We are here with a very special episode of the Interracial John Podcast. We have our two wonderful friends from the UK, Constantine and Alina, on the line. Hi, guys.
Hey.
It's like a dispatch from the Blue Room, but not.
It's a post dispatch from the Blue Room is what it is.
I like it.
So we're doing a post visit debrief. It's good. I like it. Some quick housekeeping. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. You can also find us on our website, interracialjohn.com. And, of course, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram. Just search Interracial John. Again, that's J-A-W-N. So how are things in the UK this evening, right? This evening there? Night?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
First of all, I have to declare I'm feeling totally inadequate not having a cool Twitter handle like you guys. Just going by a first name sounds suddenly, it served me all my life, but now I feel really dissatisfied with that.
Yeah, Drew's is more of a separate persona. I actually was shocked when I got my Twitter handle and Leslie Mack wasn't already taken. I was really surprised by that, but I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed very common to me. I thought somebody would have had it. Usually when I try and use it for, you know, anything you have to make a username and password for, it's almost always taken. So I have to add like a couple of numbers or something at the end of it. But on Twitter, it was up for grabs. So
I'm thinking Constantine NBA. Something. There's a mashup there.
There's something there. Yeah.
Yeah. Or something.
In an alternative universe. Maybe. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I will say that the New York sports, franchises had two really big weeks in UK visitors, the Knicks with you, Constantine, and then the next week the Prince and Princess were at the Brooklyn Nets Cavaliers game.
Yeah, so, and I was actually thinking of going to that game as well, but the Nets got completely blown out in that game, so I felt much happier with the game I went
yeah,
to.
Yeah, your game was exciting. Close.
Speaking of LeBron, yeah. did you guys on the other side of the pond, was King James putting his arm around the mum, queen, whatever?
No, it's the princess.
Was
Catherine.
That, was that big news?
Catherine, yeah.
Was that as big a deal over there as it was maybe made here?
I don't think so, to be honest. I didn't think it was made that big a deal of. It is a kind of unspoken rule that you don't touch royalty. But there's a kind of understanding that not everybody would know that because it is unspoken.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So,
and what is the point of it? Like that they're untouchable. I'm just curious. It's very foreign to us, this idea of royalty. So,
sweet, do you know?
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't be able to give you specific facts, but the whole royalty subject, there are a lot of rules about the way you're supposed to greet, communicate, interact with royalty. Mm-hmm. And these rules are so crucial that I remember years back somebody broke a rule and the queen was so upset. And it's in a way as if she suffers if the rules are not followed. Hmm. It's a very regimented world, and these are the rules of her world, and they might seem alien to us, but that's the way things are to her. So it's quite interesting to think about it from not only for us or for commoners, so to speak, who get to interact with her, but also what is it like for her?
Just being in that. But I'm sure for her, that's been her whole life. And I guess that's the idea, is that they're kind of in this world where the expectation is always, I mean, their whole life really is nothing but a series of expectations, it seems like.
Right.
Mm.
Their purpose is the expectation. Job. Yeah, I'd imagine it is.
Well, in fact, would you think, Leslie, and I felt it, maybe some of the reaction to LeBron was because he's black? Like there was
no, I just think it's just sports stuff. And plus, we're, you know, clumsy Americans, and we don't have any respect for people's personal space, generally speaking, either. So it's not surprising to me.
Speaking of clumsy Americans, I realized I made a couple of faux pas, Constantine, Alina. I owe you an apology. At more than one, I think two instances when we were meeting people and I was introducing you, I said like, oh, you know, Constantine's from Russia and Alina's from Ukraine, but really you're British. And I don't know, that's an American thing, wanting to sort of like put people in like check boxes, like where are you from and what are you this? Like the very weird privileged American kind of thing, and I apologize. I didn't mean to do that, and I did it twice. So I'm on the podcast for posterity. Say I'm very, very sorry. I know you're British, and I didn't mean to suggest that, you know, more information was needed. My mistake.
Drew, you totally don't need to worry about that. I understand what you were talking about, though. I wouldn't say in my experience that it's an American thing. I often get asked that in the UK as well, just because I guess people can see that maybe my facial structure gives away the fact that maybe I come from Eastern Europe or something like that. And even though I've been living in the UK all of my adult life, and I consider myself British, I can tell that people are just curious. They want to find out who they're dealing with. And it's an interesting question because when I do tell them that I am originally, which is, there's something quite funny about this, I am originally from Ukraine, you know, I can see that it's a little bit misleading because I don't represent what Ukraine is today. I'm not, you know, I don't come as a package. So in a way, I'm not going to contribute to their understanding of what a contemporary Ukrainian is.
Yeah.
You know, but I can see that they're curious and they want to know. It's like, you know, sometimes we want to maybe, we're curious about some things about people's lives and about how much they earn or what they do or, you know, and so that's okay. That's okay. But overall, yes, I guess we do consider ourselves, me personally, I can say, I consider myself quite cosmopolitan and international.
Yeah. And how strange is it?
More than anything else.
That we in America, you know, the vast majority of us are one generation removed from being originally from somewhere else, right? Like maybe my history goes back a few generations, but a wide number of people in the United States that consider themselves Americans aren't, you know, like Leslie, you're first generation born here. The rest of your family's born in Jamaica, but you don't think of, you know, Jamaican this, Jamaican first. You're an American that, you know, has Jamaican heritage.
I mean, are you asking me to choose like right now on the podcast?
I'm just saying that it's weird that Americans, and so even Constantine and Lena had said that London's 40% of people that live in London were not born in the UK, right? So to think of what is British, what is a person from London, what's a, you know, a Brit, well, somebody who's maybe not from the UK. That's pretty common. 40% of people in London weren't born in the UK, right?
And I wonder what percentage of, I guess not the whole UK, but of the people that live in England live in London. I'm sure it's a high percentage. Is it?
I don't know, actually. Well, the thing with London is it's very hard to measure. It really depends.
Right, because how far you go out from it and stuff like
exactly.
That, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not too sure, but it would be, I can hear someone Googling it furiously.
Drew's
in the background.
That's me.
He's a heavy typer.
Demographics of London. I'm looking it up.
Knock yourself out, man. Yeah, I think it's probably about maybe 20, 25%, something like that would be my guess.
Yeah, so that's a big, big portion of the country then that is that as well.
But it's very, very different from the rest of the country in that particular respect, and in terms of how many people born outside the country would live in London. In the rest of the country, it wouldn't be anything like that.
Right, which is funny because here we have like weird enclaves where there's like a whole lot of like Vietnamese immigrants in Syracuse and a large Indian population in Dearborn, Michigan. Because sometimes when people come to this country, they'll just send them somewhere. If they don't already have somebody that they're connected to or anything, they'll just say, and I say they, when they come in through customs and immigration and all of that, when they become naturalized, they'll say, okay, well, we're just going to send you to this place. And then slowly what happens is they'll sponsor family and then it starts to become a community because then there's foods that are familiar to a culture and, shops, and they carry, you'll see this all over the place. I mean, even here in Philadelphia, there's a section of Northeast Philadelphia where we used to live that is completely Russian. And all of the stores, all the signs are Russian. They also have a really good Chinese restaurant over there. I don't know why, but that's random. I feel like that's everywhere, though, right? But you'll just go down like one street and then there'll be like, you know, maybe 7 or 8 square blocks where everything is in Russian. And that's, you know, new immigrants and people that have also lived in the neighborhood for a while. So, but that also has to do with the size of this ridiculous country as well, because it's land-wise very large.
I pulled up your numbers.
So.
It's about 12% live. And there's Inner London, Outer London, and Greater London.
Mm-hmm. So and what's the Greater London?
Greater London's about 8 million in 2011. And the population around the same time of the country is about 64 million.
Is that the whole UK, though, or just England, UK, though, I was asking about England.
Ah, oh,
not
okay.
The whole. I didn't think it was fair to do that comparison because each of the other countries, like they have their own large cities as well. Okay. Edinburgh.
Let me get England up.
I mean, I'm just saying for my comparison's sake, I don't think it's a fair thing to make London a representative of the whole of the UK.
So I don't have a list of just...
What do you think, Constantine? Is that accurate or not?
Well, the different countries of the UK have their own completely separate identities.
Right.
And,
that's
what I was
thinking. 53 million.
They would be very different.
Yeah.
Of England is 53?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's 8 out of 53 is about... Still about the same percent, 14%.
14%. That's still a big percentage, though.
Yeah.
For one city.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I think it's a big percentage. There's a lot of people in England, obviously, that live in... I don't think we have a city that's concentrated quite that much, just size-wise. But also, it's a big percentage and would certainly start to change the identity, at least of England, knowing that that larger percentage is concentrated there. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have what you're talking about, Leslie, as well, in terms of how people live. Like in London, there are whole areas where, most of the shops would be in a foreign language. And what I always find quite amusing is very often those communities that live together or very close to each other are actually communities that in their home countries are at war even sometimes. So, for example, you've got Greeks and Cypriots and Turks living together. Very close to each other. And it's just funny, like at home they really wouldn't get on, but here they do. Or even, Alina's Ukrainian or from Ukraine originally, as she mentioned. I'm from Russia originally. And, you would have Russians and Ukrainians kind of at war, at loggerheads at home. Most of them would still get on here in London. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't. Unless they're very heavily kind of into the politics of the whole thing,
right?
They would most of them see themselves as kind of being of one, of one place,
one place,
of one area,
gotcha,
of the world.
Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, overall, there seems to be a tendency. Oh yes, yeah, sorry, Leslie. Overall, there seems to be a tendency of people from the same country wanting to be together, wanting to belong to the same community. And this is something that we encountered, but we, I guess, consciously decided to keep our minds open and to integrate into the fabric of this country whatever comes our way. So our experience and our friends and our connections seem to be very, very international. While occasionally when we do meet someone new from like a Russian speaker or Ukrainian speaker, the first thing they ask us, or they tend to ask us, is how many other Russian speakers do you know?
Funny.
So
it is funny. It's like your only value you have for those people
is what connections. Yeah, how many other Russians are you bringing to the table here to discuss this?
Yeah, so they tend to cluster together and eat Russian food and celebrate Russian holidays and do the Russian thing. And in a way, almost to me, it seems like they're trying to recreate the country that they left in the country that they're living in right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I guess, for us, it's not really something that we're trying to achieve. We're quite curious and quite interested in this country as this country, so we have this sense of belonging and, but it's very interesting to encounter that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Drew's completely like, I don't know what to say about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't have any of those kinds of things.
No.
Well, I guess originally you guys are from Ireland, though, right, Drew?
Scotland.
Oh, Scotland? No, I thought it was Ireland and they made up the
Mac. Oh, it was Irish and it was a Mick.
Right.
And they made it Mac.
Right.
Because at the time somebody thought that Scottish was
more
better than
respectable.
There was more anti-Irish sentiment at the time, I guess.
Right.
18-something.
That's on your dad's side, but on your mom's side, the McNerney side.
They've been here for 400 years.
Yeah, a long time.
They ran a mill.
They did.
They were part of the...
You can go to the mill today here.
What does it mean, though, if you ran a mill? Does that mean that they were, like, oppressors? They ran, like, the mill?
I don't know anything about that. I'm sure you could find out lots about the Kendrdine Mill if you wanted to, Jerome.
Your mom sent me a CD, and I listened to part of it and did some of the research and history, and I kind of didn't.
You didn't?
She's going to be mad at me because I know she put it all together, and she's like really – she cares a lot more about genealogy than I do, and I think she wants me to care more about genealogy, and I don't.
But she should focus on your – brother that has children to pass this on to.
That's true. I think she's.
What do you need to know? We're going to die, and then that'll be it. Somebody else.
I love you, Mom. It's okay.
Oh, just kidding.
So I had written down a couple things I wanted to talk to Kostya and Alina about from their visit.
Uh huh.
If that's okay.
Kalina, as I'm calling them.
Kalina, I like it. Celebrity
man. All right, Dresley, let's do it.
Dresley, I like that too. I'm going to stick it up. All right, so I want to hear your side of the story about Jesus Christ.
that was funny, at least to me. It's funny because I told that story to people here in Britain, having announced it officially as something funny that happened when we were in America. And when I told them, nobody laughed. So it tells you something. I think part of that is that British people are just very, very sensitive to not offending others. And so the part of the story where somebody might have taken offense to something was the bit that people kind of focus on. So basically what happened is the four of us were at the Christmas – what do you call it?
Christmas
we call
Village.
It Christmas market?
Yeah, the Christmas Village,
yeah. Right. And we went over to a stall that had a massive selection in the typically American way of something that here in Britain we would have like one of. So in Britain, if you want to get strudel, you get apple strudel. That's what you get. Whereas this stall had like sour cherry strudel and sweet cherry strudel and apple strudel and all kinds of strudels. And in my typical kind of British way, observing that, I said, Jesus Christ. And then just becoming aware that we were in the United States and also just trying to be funny, as I'm sometimes prone to do, I said, you should not take the Lord's name in vain.
You're doing it really well, but you've been working on your American, like yokel accent, right? Like, not just American accent, but like the like real, like, you know, Southern roots accent. And you had a little bit like, y'all shouldn't take Jesus Christ's name in vain. Like you amped up the Americanism a little bit.
Right, right.
Which was good. The joke was for me, and I got it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. The joke was for us, for the four of us. At this point, the lady who was queuing in front of us turned around. There was a small kid next to her. And she said, she looked at me with quite a stern look, and she said, yes, thank you. And turned back around.
I want to just for our Americanized listeners, queuing means standing in line.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. There we go.
Woman in line in front of Constantine.
Yes.
But it was just great because you said, like, oh, I shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. And she was dead serious, like, thank you.
So I was just making fun of the whole situation, but to her it was a very serious matter. And it highlights another kind of big difference, I think, between Britain and the United States is that we don't really do God very much anymore in this country. And so our conversations that we have about religion tend to be very, I suspect, by most countries' standards, quite disrespectful in a way, in that we don't give it the same level of reverence that you guys meaning the United States, not the two of you, tend to do. And that was an interesting kind of way of having a very tangible experience of that difference.
Of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus
definitely.
Christ.
Jesus Christ. No, it's definitely true. And it's funny, when we moved to Argentina, you know, Argentina is a very unique country, like every country is, but because it's in South America, I think that before we went to visit there and started meeting people there, I think people have the impression that it would be, you know, a Catholic country, and it would be very religious, and
stoic.
And it would have all these things. And we went there, and it was like, nobody. They don't even like the phrase "God bless you" there.
No,
it's like, why would you say that?
And oddly, the town we lived in had the biggest cathedral in like all of South America,
literally, and nobody went to it.
It was always empty.
Nobody ever went to it. I don't know, and nobody we even encountered went to church or had any ties to a specific religion or anything. So it's interesting when you even go somewhere that people would expect to have strong religious ties and they don't, and it's like, oh, I need to get my head completely just like clear of my expectations and see what's going to happen sometimes too. But here for sure, you're going to run into issues talking about religion, generally speaking.
You know, we've never even played for Constantine the Delivered More.
Oh, my gosh. We should definitely play that right now.
Turn around and tell those people. Tell them, I'm not gay no more. I am delivered. I don't like men no more. I said I like women. Women, women, women. I said women. I'm not gay. I would not date a man. I would not tear a purse. I would not put on makeup. I will
love a woman.
Well, I don't think he will, though. No.
The funny thing about that is you did show us the video, and the guy looks so gay.
Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous. And he even every phrase, first of all, I every time I hear the actual, because this is the actual what happened in real life. There's a song. Drew will play that after we're done talking about it. But the phrases he uses, like, I'm not going to carry a purse. What does that have to do with being gay? I'm not going to wear makeup. Again, not requirement for being gay. Just like he's completely putting himself in a more like ridiculous scenario as he's going through his little, you know, diatribe. And then he ends with, I will love a woman. That's not even the right tense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Well, the whole thing is crazy.
As he pointed out, said from the paisley coat with giant yellow bow tie.
Oh, that was a really large bow tie. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I feel bad. He didn't get much reverence.
Guys, do you know what? When I watched that little clip, I actually felt quite sad. Mm. You know, to me, this whole issue of just being yourself, just being whoever you are, is really, really important. And, you know, I know that about myself, that quite often I might not do something or not quite express myself because maybe I'm concerned with how it's going to be received. But when I see someone doing that on such a big scale and really being torn by this massive conflict of, on the one hand, their religious community and the expectations of what they think they have to deliver and what's right and wrong and their true nature and who they are, whatever that is, right? I find that quite disturbing, you know. So it has comic elements about it, but overall this whole subject, you know, it was quite thought provoking for me. This clip, it really stayed for me for many different reasons.
It is. It's a big thing here. There's a big push from the religious right to promote what they call conversion therapy for gay people, which is this idea that you can make someone not gay anymore through, I would call, abusive psychological practices that you basically inflict upon participants in these things. It's been denounced by the physicians organizations here and psychological organizations here, but it's still pushed. And in fact, there was a big controversy this past week where I think this was in Texas. Drew, maybe you can look it up for me, but just look up twin billboard conversion therapy.
Oh, you'll find I saw it. That on Facebook.
Yeah, so there's a billboard that this organization put up, and there are these people that are proponents of this conversion therapy, and they put up this billboard with two pictures of a man, and one of them is in like a suit and tie, and the other one's in a t-shirt, and it says, identical twins, one gay, one straight. This proves that no one is born gay, okay? This is their pitch they're making. Mm-hmm. Problem is, it's not twins. It's the same person twice. Second issue is, it's a gay man that lives in Australia. He's just a model that they just bought stock footage of. So it's like the most ridiculous thing ever. It's this propaganda they're putting together. They can't even put their propaganda together correctly because both pictures are of a gay man. So there's really, a problem there.
And I want to just highlight that they've had more problematic. So what you're talking about is Pray the Gay Away. It's, like you said, it's been denounced. But the
no, this is not Pray the Gay Away, I'm talking about.
Independent of that, this billboard, they've got the same guy. In one image, he's wearing a suit and tie, right. And that's ostensibly straight.
I guess.
In the other one, he's wearing a t-shirt and looks kind of like
which is
scruffy.
Stupid. If anybody knows anything about gay people, they would be the better dressed of the two. Just saying.
Crazy. So that was the one, Jesus Christ, which I found it amusing. And it is very quintessentially American to say something like that and then to be like jesting about it and then someone in line be like, oh, thank you very much. So there was another couple, and you used queuing, right? We had another couple of phrases that we heard while out and about. Do you remember the other one you heard that struck you as odd? We were shopping and they asked you and me a question. How are you guys making out?
Oh, yeah.
But all nonchalantly.
How are you guys making out?
Are we going to talk about being gay all night, Drew?
If that's what the podcast takes.
This is the gay podcast.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So but they don't say that. I guess they don't say that in the UK then. How are you guys making out? Yeah.
No.
That's funny.
That's a very personal question.
Yes. I guess with the making out, we do use the term making out. So that's funny that it's made its way into the retail industry. But yeah, how are you making out in the store? Are you done? Do you need help?
Yeah.
That's funny. I must have been not there for that one.
And I always find that do you need help? Like, not always find it weird, but like at least here in the States, like retail associates are conditioned to be like, oh, let me help you. And it's like, I'm looking at like underwear. Do you need any help?
No,
like,
I don't.
Do you ask me that when I'm at the aisle with the sex toys too? Do you need any help? Like,
I don't think they have people that walk around at the sex toy shop though.
I don't know. Questions. Maybe you haven't been to some of the shops I've been to.
Maybe not. I don't know.
The ladies are awful willing to be friendly. Try that on for you.
Oh,
you want to see what your wife would look in this?
Well, it sounds like we missed out on the whole section of American entertainment while we were there.
Yeah, apparently. Retail. Next time, yeah.
While Alina was at the Container Store, I should have been checking other places out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was going to do a whole list of different things from the UK and
America. Oh, that's
a
good idea.
But I didn't do the list. We didn't have time.
I'm sure there's a list online. Just search it while I'm talking. So the other fun thing that we did while you guys were here was raclette, which was only the second time we got to do it, which was awesome. I'm already plotting for Christmas because we're going to do maybe one day we'll do raclette dessert because I enjoyed that as well. It was quite gluttonous, but it was tasty.
It was. I think the word quite is totally inappropriate next to gluttonous. It was just totally gluttonous.
Yes.
I think I put I don't know how many pounds because I don't count in pounds, but a couple of kilos in one meal probably.
Just that one meal. It was so hard to stop eating, though. Everything was fresh and tasty. But yeah. I will say the dessert wasn't very healthy. But the raclette itself was actually quite healthy because it's just meats and you know, cheeses and vegetables, so it's not a lot of carbohydrates and things like that.
Totally.
Yeah, it really becomes just like a game.
Yes.
It's like the fun thing to do together.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic, yeah.
Mm. Mm, it was. It was really fun, really fun. And all very healthy kind of protein as well, really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. The fish and the meat, it was all great.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Fun way to eat.
Raclette's the sort of the stone cooking surface that's heated up, and then you can put little things underneath it to melt cheese, and you can cook like proteins and vegetables on top. And we literally, the smorgasbord was absurd.
I blame Peter and Ray because I think that I did actually quite well with the dinner portion. I didn't think I actually had that much extra of many things, especially the proteins. We laid pretty good waste to that stuff. But the desserts, oh my goodness. It was a lot of desserts. They were all very good, but it was like...
And they were all very good. That was the thing.
Yeah, you wanted to try every combination of everything. How does this taste with that thing? And what does this taste with that thing? Yeah, for sure. Did you find something, Drew?
I did. So I was looking for more like we say... Concrete, they say pavement. We say sidewalk, they say, what do you call a sidewalk?
Pavement.
I was looking for those kind of lists, but this is more like a Wikipedia article, and it had some interesting ones. But there was the ones I find completely the most interesting, where there's disambiguity, where there's completely different meanings between the two words. And my favorite is fanny, right? So we hear we have a fanny pack. You think, oh, that's a little bag you put on your waist. You call it a bum bag. But do you know why they call it a bum bag, Leslie? Do you know what fanny is in British English?
Yeah, I do know what it means. A vagina, right?
Vagina.
Yeah.
So no one would ever walk around with a vagina pack.
No.
But we have
no, they wouldn't.
They would not.
If you remember at the time of the financial crash, the two companies that were selling mortgages in the United States, they were
Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae, exactly. And to us, yes, just looking at the name of that company, it was like, of course it was going to go bust. It's just obvious. A company with a name like that, you know.
Okay. Well, the other list here, they have pants and trousers. There's another one that we have completely different usage. You guys say knickers, and we say panties or underpants, right? Do you guys call, do you use panties, or is it still knickers? Constantine Lee?
Knickers, I guess.
Have we gotten to a subject that's too sensitive for the UK?
No, I'm just not an expert on it, I've got to be honest. You would never call a man's underpants knickers. It's a woman's term. It's
Oh, I see. And what do you call the men's then?
Briefs.
Briefs. Okay.
Boxers.
Or boxers. Okay, so you call them what they specifically are. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, do you know any other ones offhand? I'm looking up the again, this
You one. Would also call them pants, actually. So pants to us are the underwear, whereas to you guys is what we call trousers.
Right.
Oh, interesting. There's also a whole set of
I have stuff. I have
conjugations
a
of verbal
I have
phrases.
A few.
Like
I have some good
in
ones.
Hospital versus hospital.
I have some good ones. So chip flavors, not French fries, but potato chips. So it says here.
Which, by the way, sorry to interrupt. We call them crisps.
Crisps. Yeah, actually, yeah, they're right. Also called crisps. It actually says that here. So you guys have prawn cocktail flavored.
Ew.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean like shrimp? Shrimp flavored potato chips.
Yeah. Cheese and onion. I see here.
Yeah.
And crispy bacon, I see as well.
Now, God damn it. Why can't we take that over?
Here we have...
crispy bacon.
It says that's crispy bacon frazzles.
Just bacon.
Oh, just bacon. Just bacon.
Normally just bacon. And just the bacon. Other one we have is salt and vinegar as well.
Okay, yeah. I can see that for sure. Because that's what you get. That gets put on the actual chips as well.
On what you call fries.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. So we have sour cream and onion, chicken and waffles, and then late night all-nighter cheeseburger. Flavored.
Wow.
Crisps.
I like the way they specify the time of day when you to which it relates. It's like all nighter
cheeseburger. So what we do with our fries or your chips, we just put ketchup on ours. We're very boring. And you guys, it says here, well, according to this photo anyways, you have them with fried fish. So fish and chips.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, yeah. And you would put salt and vinegar on them
on
as well.
On those, okay.
Which is the nationality that dips fries in mayo?
That's France, I think.
That's France?
I think so.
Okay.
We do that in the UK as well.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
do you?
Me and Alina and I do that. I don't know that everyone does it.
What we put on toast. So we put like eggs, bacon, and cheese on our toast. And you guys put beans. Right?
Beans, yeah.
Beans, right? That's pretty common.
Cheese as well. Cheese on toast and beans on toast
and
are like the kind
toast.
Of adolescent stroke young adult food. If you can't cook anything, that's what people would have
for weeks
upon
like a slice of bread.
Yeah, Drew, we've had it at...
a piece of bread with beans poured over it.
Yes, we've had it at the British Chip Shop before.
Just beans on a piece of bread.
Yeah, but like canned beans, like you would use for pork and beans, like those kinds of beans.
Okay.
We've actually eaten it.
Drew,
before.
I can hear the excitement in your voice, man.
You liked it when we had them, so.
I'm thinking I'd rather have the bread in my hand and I would dip into the beans with the bread.
Well, either way. How we handle ourselves when we've been drinking. So for America, we drink, then we fight, then we sue. Those are the three things. And in the UK, you drink, and then you fight, and then you drink some more.
Sounds like a better plan.
Does that sound about right? In Canada,
sounds
by the way,
right.
They just drink, and drink in Canada. They don't bother with the fighting parts. let's see. When we allow nudity on television. So in the UK, it says 9 p.m. Is that right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, here.
It's called the watershed.
Yeah, here we don't have such. You can be naked anytime, really.
Really?
No.
On cable, you can.
TV and there's someone with their boobs out?
You can on cable. Well,
yeah.
I don't think the UK has cable in the same sense that we do.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, they have Page 6, though, right? They got
that's true.
They got titties at...
Page 3.
Oh, they moved it up.
Oh, page 3 now.
Yeah,
no, Page 6 is here.
Page 6 is here?
Right. Oh. It's in New York. They don't have any naked people, but that's like the gossip column in New York. It's Page 6. How often we say we're sorry? So in the UK, only when it's appropriate. And here, Never. Yeah, never. You're not getting an apology.
We did a whole.
No, I wouldn't say that's true. You guys maybe never, but we in Britain, people say sorry at every opportunity, regardless of whether there's any need for it at all.
It's a salutation. Hi, sorry.
No, that's Canada. Hi. Has the like that. In Canada, they actually have a law about apology. It's an apology act that was passed in 2006, and it actually says that even saying sorry actually doesn't have any connection to fault in terms of what you're saying sorry for, because that's how often I say sorry, and I guess they got into some issues. So the candy selection, I'm looking here for you guys. Of course, Turkish Delight. They have Mars, Boost, looks like, and then some Cadbury Dairy Milk and caramel.
Mm. What's that? Boost?
I don't know. It's a candy bar. Yeah. Do you guys have that Boost there?
Like chocolate bar.
Yeah, yeah, chocolate bar. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yes. Chocolate.
There's like hundreds of them.
Of course.
Of the ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the Willy Wonka stuff, like Nerds and things like that. And then, of course, all the Hershey stuff.
And you said Mars, like as in like the deep fried Mars bar of Edinburgh?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that made me sick as shit.
Uh-huh. So, opinion. Drew, that's your phone. Opinions about the French. So, the UK just kind of don't like them. And we stick our middle fingers up. Canada waves at them. They like them. So there's that.
Yeah. Canada's got history.
Yeah. Let's see. How we measure distance. It says we use the imperial system. And it says you guys have a confusing mix of both. But I thought you guys were strictly metric. Or am I crazy on that?
No. Alina and I are strictly metric.
Oh, gotcha.
We never bothered to learn the British way of doing it. Actually, most British people would not use the metric system. What? But by law now, it is becoming the dominant one.
Got it. How we transport our milk. So we get our milk in cartons for the most part. You guys have glass bottles still, yes?
No, we have plastic bottles mostly.
Got it. But it's bottles.
Like canisters.
They're not bottles.
Got it. Interesting. So how we use the word pie. So here we would use a pie, and it could be a pizza pie. And I'm looking at a shepherd's pie, looks like, for the UK. Athletic shoes. We already went through that. Trainers versus sneakers. And our favorite cut of bacon. In the UK, it says rashers. What's that?
I don't even know how to describe it. I'm going to have to Google this. Unbelievable. Well, rashers, my understanding of rashers is quite a thin strip.
Got it.
What's your favorite?
Ours is just, we call it streaky bacon, I guess is what it's technically called. And it's a thin strip, but it I guess from the cut of it, it's like part fat and part meat. I'm looking at the rashers and it looks like there's no fat on it. It looks like it's meat and then extra meat.
Nah, British bacon must have fat on it. Trust me.
You know, I'm looking at it, Leslie. It's just like in Argentina. The meat's cut perpendicular. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So your British bacon is more like our ham.
Right.
And our bacon is cut perpendicular. So the fat. So on your British bacon, the fat sort of rims the edge of the bacon.
Yes.
Whereas in American, the fat is all in and throughout.
All throughout, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It makes
and
for
you
a
guys do
cooking.
Your crispy bacon as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
which is something we only tried for the first time. Yeah, we only tried it with you guys for the first time.
Oh, really? Did you like it?
And it was
I loved
good.
It.
It's good,
I
right? Yeah, it is good. It's quite tasty. But it's one of those things you can eat like so much of it without even thinking of it. It's like chomp, chomp, chomp. It's like bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. So let's see. And then the last thing was what we consider landmarks. So here in America, if it was built 50 years ago, it's now a landmark. And in the UK, it says it was built in the 16th century, but it's now a Vodafone. What does that mean?
It's a cellular thing.
It probably means that like anything that was built after 16th century is not considered old enough to be protected in any way.
Gotcha.
It's not quite true, but yeah, it is funny to, well, I think to most of the rest of the world, if I'm honest, the kind of things that are considered landmarks in the US, because, you know, the building that we live in is probably like 200 years old.
Mm.
And it doesn't occur to us that there's anything noteworthy about that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture of the rashers, Leslie, mm-hmm. and you know the strip of fat that is on the rashers bacon? Mm-hmm. We cut that off and we deep fry it and
oh,
we
yeah.
call it fat.
Fat back, yeah.
So, you guys keep that
not
little bit
we,
of fat.
Not you and
the
me,
United
but
States.
Yes.
United States.
It's a southern delicacy.
Correct. Yeah. So imagine that strip of fat that comes on rashers, peel that off, bread it, and fry it. That's how we roll.
Wow.
Melts in your mouth.
Yeah, something like that. You've had it, actually, haven't you? I've eaten it, true? Oh, yeah. Gross.
It's good. Tastes like bacon.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's like you know how like when you eat cotton candy, it just sort of like dissolves in your mouth? It's like that, but bacon. You just pop it in your mouth. It's like, it's just gone. You don't have to chew.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Guys, I'm getting hungry over here.
I know, right?
Absolutely.
Of course, we've come back to food per usual. So what's going on with you guys? What are you guys coming up the next couple of weeks? So holidays are there, but I know, Alina, we were talking when you were here that New Year's is a bigger, you know, celebration for you guys than Christmas necessarily, which makes sense now that you've mentioned the non-God influence in the country. So what are you guys doing for the holidays?
Okay, do you know what? For us, the whole Christmas and New Year, they kind of merged into one now. You know, mm-hmm. Back in the Soviet times, we didn't celebrate Christmas. It was forbidden. We could only do the New Year on the 31st, just like everyone else. And we had our Christmas tree, or what you guys consider Christmas tree, but we called it New Year's tree.
Got it.
And we had our Father Frost, right, who was a replacement for the Saint
Father
Nicholas.
Christmas. Got it.
Yeah. So in our childhood, both me and Constantine followed that schedule, that routine. There was no such thing as Christmas, right? And then nowadays, when religion is not forbidden anymore, it is actually celebrated. It is part of a culture again. People do celebrate Christmas in Ukraine, so or Russia. But 2 weeks after everyone else in Western Europe. So we now, in the UK, we have a British or European or normal Western Christmas, which is also Constantine's birthday.
Oh.
And it's kind of a little personal little holiday for us, not religious. Then we'd also celebrate New Year. We tend to celebrate it with family, probably, and it will be as big as your Christmas for you.
While
in the UK, normally Christmas is the family get together kind of day, and New Year is the party and probably getting drunk, that kind of day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for us, because all of our past experiences of Christmas being forbidden, then being present again, but 2 weeks later than for everyone else, then, now we have Christmas in the UK. And if we go and visit family in winter, we have Ukrainian Christmas as well. It's all, you know, it's this whole massive
celebration.
Season.
Yeah.
It's just all merged into one. Yeah, so we're going to go for the New Year. We're going to Armenia, and for us it will be like Christmas for you. It will be massive family get together. And for Christmas here, because it's Constantine's birthday, I'm plotting a couple of secret things. I'll see whether they're going to materialize or not, but I'm not going to say anything just yet.
Secret. So, see how she can keep a secret, Constantine.
Yeah.
He's so he gets so excited about whatever he's planned, so he doesn't like to hold it in. I love it. I think it's great.
I did manage the second time, though.
Yes, you did.
So I'm getting better. the thing is, we're going to Armenia, and it's my mom's 50th birthday this year.
Oh, right.
So a lot of the family is getting together, and it should be a really, really fun time. So we're really looking forward to it.
That'll be lovely. Yeah, we, of course, are having my whole family here. So we actually just did a head count. It's going to be 13 here, including Drew and I, over the holiday. And the movie Annie, or the play Annie?
Do you guys know? We went to see it when we were in New York last time.
Oh, right. So they have a new movie of it coming out next week, this week actually, the 19th.
Oh, with Cameron Diaz, I saw that.
Yeah, and Jamie Foxx. Yeah. So my entire family is going to see it together the day after Christmas.
Wow. Awesome.
So it should be fun. We have a really fancy theater here with like leather reclining seats and everything. You have to reserve your seating. So we'll be taking over almost the whole theater with us. It'll be really fun, but
wow.
Should be a good
wow.
time.
Reserving the whole row.
Yeah. I think we'll have two rows probably because the way the seating is. Yeah, it should be a good time though.
So it's going to be your last Christmas in Philly, right?
Yes, it will be our final Christmas in Philly. My best friend's very excited about that. So, yeah, she can't wait for us to get to Michigan. Although, yeah, it'll be our last Christmas in Philly, but probably not our last Christmas out east. I'm sure at least a couple of Christmases will make our way to one family or the other. But we'll be very close to Drew's mom, so I would anticipate us spending a lot more holidays with her, which will be wonderful. In Chicago. Mm-hmm.
She's only going to be there a few years. She claims she's moving to Georgia. We'll see.
Anyways, for those few years, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother's there, too, though.
Yep, true. Matt's there, and Tia's there, and we'll have lots to do in Grand Rapids as well, so it'll be nice, although it'll be cold as crap. And actually, I'm heading upstate New York this Thursday to my high school for this thing we do there called Revels. It's it's hard to even describe it, but
don't even bother.
A Yule time play within a play that's put on every year by the seniors in the class. It's a really big tradition there. You try out in the fall and then you keep your part a secret and nobody finds out who you're playing until the night that the show opens. And this is the 100th performance of it. So I'm really excited to go up with a bunch of my classmates to check it out and see. I haven't seen it in probably... gosh, 18 years or something like that. No, I saw it after. I saw one or two after I left, but not since then. So it'll be neat to go up and see it and see I'm sure somebody will be wearing my costume and all that fun stuff. So it'll be cool.
Wow. So you do keep in touch and you do maintain the connection
with the
school and with the mates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My schoolmates and I were very close, much to Drew's chagrin sometimes. He gets roped into going to all of these things with all of us. It's a lot when we're all together, but it's fun. Yeah. So I don't know, Drew, I guess I'll let you speak on that.
Fun ladies.
Yeah. He says that it's like a boys' locker room when we get together is what he says. I don't know.
And I think, Cassie, you went to boarding school, but I don't know if you did, Alina, but this is new to me. I was unaware of this dynamic here. Maybe it's overseas, too. But when women here in the United States go to boarding school, in particular for high school, and there's no men around and they can wear whatever they want, there's no real dress code, they get to kind of be themselves, women acting like women. This was news to me that women, unencumbered by the need to look good for men, are absolutely disgusting. women in the absence of men at a boarding school, it was like a locker room. I mean, really, like a university boys' locker room. I'm talking like farts, all kinds of, you know, sex talk,
off-color jokes.
I sat down at one point, and our friend Nicole was talking, and I sat there.
Well, you sat down, and I said, Drew, you don't want to be here right now. I said it to you as soon as you put your butt in the chair. I said, Drew, you probably shouldn't be over here right now.
I took a long draw of my beer and kind of listened for about a minute, and I was like, oh, man, I can't unhear. What I've just heard, I can't unhear. And you're a mom, and I know you're a mom, and I know your son grow. I mean, I know your kids grow. I can't unhear that, Nicole.
Shout out to you, Nicole. What's up, Gretton?
I wish I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I heard, I think on our trip just now, I heard a little bit of that come out of Leslie. We were sitting in the restaurant. And it was quite this quite fancy restaurant, and we're all dressed up and enjoying dinner, very formal in a way, talking about very important things. And then Leslie asked me something about, you know, if I'm going to have my starter right now or something. And I said, no, I'm just waiting for the meat to arrive. And Leslie went, yeah, that's what she said.
Yes, I did. I can't resist that that's what she said. I mean, if you put it out there, there's no way that I can just let it go by. It's like a rule. Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Of all the people I know, I think he would have been pretty low down the list of people I would have expected to say that in that moment.
Oh, goodness.
My 11-year-old goddaughter was at our house a year and a half ago for barbecue. We have a big barbecue every summer, and she's helping me with the grill, and I'm, you know, grilling this and that. And there was a cut of meat, and it was like, you know, a huge piece of meat, and it was too big. And somebody said, like, that meat's too big. It won't fit. And, of course, like, you get to tell me, like, that meat won't fit. It's too big. What am I going to say? Right?
That's what she said.
And I didn't see that Faith was behind me. And without fail, who said that?
Who is she?
We what
were
did
like,
she say?
Ask your mother. You don't want to, don't ask us.
Aww.
Who is she?
The proverbial she.
What did she say? Yeah, exactly.
I did the same thing when she caught Beatrice humping her bone. What's she doing? She's playing. I've never seen a dog play like that.
Well,
I don't know what to tell you. Why is she playing? Ask your mom.
This is called redirecting.
Exactly.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, we don't get paid enough to do that.
When Alina and I first met, we were quite young, and she hadn't lived in the UK for very long at that point, or she hadn't lived in the UK at all. And I still had a lot of my, what you guys would call college humor in me. So I would, every now and again, she would say something, or she would call me something, and I would respond in the way that the guys would respond between us, which would be to say, so is your mom. And so after a while, she got trained by me, basically, that was okay, and without realizing.
Oh my God, guys, you won't believe it. So basically, I picked this up and I thought it was just a fun thing to say and everybody will understand. And I think I said it to somebody I worked with a couple times and someone else and my printer, so the guy who printed my exhibition. And the way he looked at me. Wow.
Nice, Constantine.
That's
way
awesome. That's the best. Oh, my gosh.
And then the thing is, as well, she came back home and she had a go at me. She was upset with me.
For winding her up.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
That is pretty good. There was we talked about it on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. We actually need to wrap up. We have to get to a meeting. But there was a person who had an online dating. We knew the person. And their online dating profile said, ask me about my phobia. Ask me about my fears. And so somebody, you know, oh, okay, what are your phobia? What are your fears? And his response was, and this was intentional, and it was designed as a litmus test to see if the person as a potential dating partner had a sense of humor. So Leslie asked me what my phobia is.
Oh, well, what's your phobia?
Fat chicks. Literally, that's this guy's, like, and I thought, like, wow, you know, what a 18-year-old approach to litmus testing your potential dating partner's sense of humor. No fat chicks, really. And he met somebody and they're married.
They are married. He found the girl. She thought it was funny.
It worked.
Lo and behold,
it worked. Well done.
I'm sure that does cleave off a good portion of people, and obviously it didn't cleave off the wrong one because he found the right one. So
I just what an approach to finding the right mate by like pissing off like 92% of every woman you come across.
Well, you know,
but you only need one, right?
That's right. Exactly.
He was going for the separate the wheat from the chaff and a. Automated way.
Very specific way.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing she's pretty slim then, huh?
I don't know.
I didn't ask that.
He's not, though, I don't think.
Because that would be the irony if she was a fat chick. But.
That would be the irony. That's funny.
But with a sense of humor.
That's true.
Definitely with a sense of humor.
But that was the thing, is that she clearly got the joke. And so that's why he was like, oh, yeah, this will work. You know, we should move forward from here. Because if you thought he was serious, then... Clearly, what are you even talking to that person at all for? But I also think it would just be weird as a first interaction, because he prompts them to ask me about my phobias. That's the thing that I was like, yeah, but you're priming the pump a little bit too much, because you're asking them to ask you this question and then you're giving them the joke. If it was just that he delivered the joke, then I could see it being a good indicator. But
well, and I don't know if the dating profile had that, but maybe if it was like a question like, tell us about your phobias. And he wrote like, fat chicks. Like, I don't know. I think that might be too much of a wheat from the chaff separation. Who would ever click on his profile?
Nobody.
What are your phobias? Fat chicks.
Nobody.
Nope.
I probably, truthfully, I don't know. I haven't dated in a long time, but I probably actually wouldn't click on anyone's profile that said, ask me about my phobias either, because that's just weird.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those like packaged questions, though. You know, like
it's not one of those packaged questions. It was one of the things he wrote in. Like that was what he wrote in as his little like, oh, here's why you should, you know, here's what we could talk about. He's like, ask me about my phobias.
maybe he thought he didn't have enough in any other department to win over a mate, that he had to really kind of go for broke with the comedy.
He might be right.
He's betrothed.
He is, yes.
He's still in a relationship.
Yes, that's true.
Well, listen, we do have to get going to a meeting. I got to get downtown Philadelphia for an organization meeting for our social justice work. But we loved having you guys here. It was so much fun. And
we'll have to record from a Jamaica.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Guys, and I just wanted to say it was amazing to be visiting you. And now you're moving away, and we are going to visit you in your new location as well. And thanks to you, we got a chance to discover Philadelphia and also enjoy New York. And what I really realized this time was that I love visiting, and I love experiencing and seeing what this country's like, your lifestyle, what you showed us. And I also feel that I want to be able to bring something, to be able to share something, to be part of this amazing fabric of what this country is, for example, through doing a show or doing something useful. So I hope to have a great excuse to do something fun, to maybe share my work, share my art, or have some kind of an event and feel like I contributed.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's what I really feel like doing.
Well, I'm sure you will do it.
You have absolutely contributed. You are definitely a part of the fabric of our lives.
That's right.
And that's very important to me, so thank you.
Awesome. And of course, we look forward to having you guys come and visit us in the UK as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
But only in the summertime. I can't do it with the rain and the clouds and the gray. And I can't do that.
Oh, you know, right now it's very sunny and the weather is very gentle and warm.
Nice.
And yeah, I guess in a way, it's really a bit of a lottery. You just got to decide when you want to come and come. And sometimes you might be surprised. Sometimes it's going to be rainy. Sometimes it'll be super sunny, regardless of the season. That's
true.
The way it is over here. So just pick a date. Pick your favorite month.
Make it happen. And
that's right.
Yeah, make it happen. That's right. We'll pick you up at Heathrow, and I really look forward to doing that.
Absolutely. All right. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks
so much.
Take
care, guys.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Turn this off.